G'day, thanks for listening to the show. It's Osher here. It's the 15th of April 2024. And I'm recording this a day after something absolutely horrific happened yesterday in Bondi Junction. We still don't know a lot about who and why and how, but I know enough to know that it's been incredibly difficult. And to be honest, my PTSD has been pretty twitchy. But I can only be grateful to have gone through something like this before. And I wanted to talk with you about how it is that I've been using the tools I got after my PTSD diagnosis and how I get through things to hopefully be of some assistance. Because sometimes it's helpful hearing how other people process things for me. I like listening to how other people get through things because it gives me new ideas. So hopefully I could be of some service to you today. I do need to play some ads. They get automatically inserted, and I'd rather let you know they're coming than have them just get thrown in. So here's an ad. I'm probably sounding way more sprightly than I am now because I recorded it a month ago. And I'll be right back.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
G'day, this is Better Than Yesterday, helping you make today better than yesterday since 2013. Thanks for being here. My name is Osher Ginsberg. I am a podcaster. I'm a best-selling author. I'm a husband. I'm a dad. I'm a stepdad. I am a helping my son to roller skate on the living room rug this morning while I played the bus stop by the Fatback Band guy. And I am someone who is talking quietly with my wife and my stepdaughter about what happened yesterday in Sydney. I'm recording this on Sunday the 14th. If you're listening to this in 5 or 10 years, Saturday the 13th of April, there was a person who, even if I knew their name, I wouldn't say it out loud, just ran into and started attacking and stabbing a bunch of people in Westfield Bondi Junction, which is a massive shopping centre. About, you know, it was real close to me. It's our local. And Wolfie's been quite sick. So we were there. Wolf and I left about 2 hours before this kicked off. Audrey and Georgia stayed behind to grab a few other things, and they left about an hour before it kicked off. And so they only just got back when we started getting text messages and looking through the photos and things. Like, there's the shops we were just walking past. This is the place where we just were. As the details started to emerge, it got more and more horrific. And texts are coming in and people are calling just to making sure that we're okay. And Saturday afternoon at this time of year, there's only really locals kind of there. It's the kind of twilight of the shopping mall. It's a sunny day. So a lot of people who don't drive on those days and kind of don't go out. So Saturday afternoon in that joint is pretty, you know, there's people there, but it's not packed. And it's only really people that live nearby, you know, because it's not Christmas or anything like that. Because of that, and because we've lived in the area for quite some time, we know a lot of people that were there and people that were affected. Some of them really, really terribly. And it's, you know, as the messages keep coming through in the afternoon, I started to feel a familiar feeling in my body. Audrey and I had already made plans to go to dinner. We went to go see, what's his name? Arnott. He was on My Kitchen Rules. He's a Fijian chef and he'd put on a Fijian food night at Dais up on Parramatta Road. So we'd already got the babysitter. We were already on the way and I'm driving and we can see the helicopters flying above Bondi Junction because we left at about 5:30. So it only just happened. We can see the helicopters flying up at Bondi Junction. And I just said to Audrey, I can feel robo mode kicking in. It's the PTSD thing. I can feel it coming back. And I was just kind of trying to be aware of it. And the short version is that I got diagnosed with PTSD in 2001. I was in New York on September 11 with some colleagues. We were there working. And I was pretty messy when I came back. It was weird, real weird. And the thing about New York, I knew that there was a safe place far, far, far away that I could go back to. This horror, this abhorrence happened real close to my house, like in my neighborhood, a place that I am every other day. And so luckily, I've done a lot of work. I've been through a real fucking hellfire of mental illness in my life. Some of it complex, some of it, you know, more garden variety. And I've got a lot of awareness, I guess, around what happens in my head and what my body starts to feel like. And so Audrey, amazingly, she was like, well, you know, what does your shrink tell you to do in these points? She goes, well, the current shrink, we're not working on this stuff, but the one that I was working with then, and I'm glad she reminded me, feel my feet in my socks, feel my shirt on my back, feel the steering wheel under my hands. Can I smell your cologne? Can I notice how different the color green on this tree is to the next tree? Being here in this moment. All right. And it started to increase in intensity because I guess when I get to those points, and I don't know if this is familiar to you, in the lack of details and the lack of understanding what or why or how bad or what happens next, my brain, which is very creative, the kind of brain that can, you know, come up with TV show formats and write great reality TV show moments and create fantastic moments on stage and make comedy shows and stuff like this. My brain's really quite creative when it wants to be. That brain started to go into catastrophe and started to fantasize about what happens next. And I was able to notice it, all right. But I dare say over dinner with Audrey, probably at least 10 or 12 times, she said, where are you? And I'd find myself staring at a spoon or staring at the edge of a plate. And it's so immersive when it happens, the catastrophe fantasizing. It's so immersive when it happens. There's another restaurant in Sydney. Oh, you've got to go. It's a place called Don't Tell Auntie. It's an Indian joint. It's like, I've been there to my birthday twice now. And they show Bollywood movies on one giant wall. So all you can see in the restaurant is playback dancing and, you know, dance scenes. And it's just this loop of these, you know, incredibly spectacular, colorful, eye-catching, cinematographically amazing, you know, sequences from the 60s and 70s. So it's incredible, right? And you can be in a conversation with someone at this restaurant and, your eye will just get caught and you'll find yourself staring going, oh, there's like 110 people wearing the same thing. Wow. And it was like that. It was really like that. I couldn't hear. And if you've ever been to Dais in Parramatta Road, it's a restaurant next door to a motorcycle shop. So there's vintage motorcycles on one side and there's, you know, so it's packed, it's noisy, there's reggae music playing because it's an island thing. There's people everywhere, there's laughter. Couldn't hear any of it, couldn't smell the food, couldn't taste the food in my mouth. I'm just in this kind of catastrophic fantasy, imagining 1,000 what ifs on top of each other. Thankfully, I had Audrey there. Where are you? Oh, I'm sorry. And brilliantly, she understood what's going on. She didn't take it personally. She understood that I'm arm wrestling my awareness away from this rumination that can take my entire focus. I can lose, when it's bad, I can lose a lot of time. And so I sat there in this restaurant, you know, with Audrey, eating delicious food, feeling my feet in my socks, tasting the coconut curry, and occasionally vanishing and then coming back. And it was different from prior because I was able to just be aware of it. You know, it's a little like meditating. If you've ever sat meditating and you go, why am I thinking about wheel nuts on the last time I changed a tire on the side of Gympie Road? Oh, I'm just sort of meditating. You know, it's like that. But I was so immersive. And that's the kind of, I understand, you know, that's a trauma response. That's a PTSD response. Trying to find a solution or a pathway or some form of stability as to which way forward. And Audrey said to me, all I'm trying to do is, I'm just going to do what's in front of me. I'm just going to try and do what's in front of me. And sure enough, that seems like a really, really good plan. Just try to do what's in front of me. It is so horrible what has happened. And to the community that we live in and the people that we know who are so horribly affected by this, it's going to be rough. All right. However, there's another thing that I kept coming back to last night, which really, really helps me when I'm in those moments of totality where my brain is convincing me this is the only way out of this. This is the only thing that's going to happen now. My brain doesn't know anything, but it's doing a thing called fortune teller error if you're a CBT person. It's future predicting, you know, and then deciding that that's what's going to happen and then reacting to that. It's not real, but my body's acting as if it is. But there's a thing that I was using and I kept doing it. So if I did the other thing 12 times, I did this 13 times. But I'll tell you about that in a sec. Because again, I've got to play ads. Even today, there's ads. And I'd rather let you know where they are than have them just get in the middle of the conversation. So here's a commercial break. It's probably me again, sounding quite sprightly. And then I'll be back in a minute.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Thank you. I appreciate you helping me pay the bills. So, if 12 times I was sucked away into a morbid fantasy of, you know, what's going to happen next and, you know, what this means for politics in our country and the gun debate and da-da-da-da, my brain was going for it last night. There was a thing that I learned from a psychologist once, and it was speaking about a traumatic event that, something that happened to somebody close to me, and I was very concerned for them. And this person said to me, listen, if this horrible thing happened that morning, never forget there's that afternoon, and then there's that evening, and then there's the day after, and then there's 2 days after, and then there's 5 days after, and then there's a week after, 2 weeks after, and a month after, then there's 3 months after, 6 months after, there's a year after, 3 years after, 5 years after, 10 years after, 30 years after. And it really, really helps me in those moments where I'm just kind of stuck in that totality to go, okay, this is this moment. And my brain's trying to predict and, you know, assess, which is what it does to try to keep us safe, you know, it tries to figure out where the next threat's coming from. Hang on a sec. I don't know all the information. All I know is what's happening right now. I'll do what's here in front of me, which is have dinner with my wife and go home, make sure the city gets to her car okay, sneak in and give my son an extra big kiss while he's asleep, lie in bed, hold my wife's hand. And then there's tomorrow, when we'll probably know more. And I might get some more texts from people telling me more details about yesterday because they haven't got back to me yet. And sure enough, that's what happened. I got more texts this morning. It was even more horrible than yesterday because I found out more stuff this morning. But then there's also tonight. And then there's Friday. And then there's next Friday. And then there's the weekend after Wolfie's birthday, which is, you know, sometime in September. And then there's that weird little bit after Christmas and before New Year's, you know. And like anything, good or bad, we figure out how to adjust and cope afterwards. There was a t-shirt which I absolutely loved. I saw it around, it was the summer after the Bali bombings. So the summer of 2002. So it was like September 11 and then the Bali bombings. And it was just this t-shirt that said, terrorists, fuck them. Now, from what I know of the news this morning, that has nothing to do with what went on yesterday. But the idea that I should be scared, or you or I should be scared and change the way that we live our lives because of the possibility of something horrific happening is bullshit. And that is how shit like this controls our choices. Why would I let this horrific event control my choices, control how much I enjoy my life, control how much service I can be to the people I know who are affected by this? I'm not going to let it. I can adapt. I can do my best to support ways that can help this not happen again. I probably have different ideas to a lot of people about that. I can do my best to support the people affected by this. But there's no fucking way I'm going to let this prevent me from going to do my groceries at that shopping centre, to, you know, the way I look at people in the street, the way that I feel when I see Georgia go off for a night out with her mates. Because those feelings are, they're real, right? And the way that our brains work is that we often will feel the feeling first, then we'll look for evidence as to why that feeling's there, and then using some sort of circular reasoning or confirmation bias, you know, that's the reason I feel this way, and it can become this bit of a loop. So that feeling of, you know, when I say goodbye to Georgia when she's going out for a night with her mates, like, yeah, I still feel weird in my tummy, right? But there's the other thing that I was going to share with you that I've been doing a lot today. My brain wants to go and do those fantasies to, you know, try to predict what's going to happen next as a way to make the icky feeling in my body go away. Like, I don't want to feel this shitty feeling in my stomach. So what's going to happen now? What's the plan? What can I do? All right. I want some plan of action. And that, for me, that plan of action is sometimes very unhelpful thinking patterns. So what I've been trying to do the last couple of days, well, weeks actually, lucky I figured this out because I've been using it a lot in the last 24 hours. What I'm doing is, it's very similar to what I was doing dealing with the pain situation. Say, for example, if I see a picture of one of the victims and my body feels this horrible, awful feeling, and my brain immediately doesn't like that feeling, and so it starts to try to find ways to think about things and, you know, plans of action and what I'm going to do and da-da-da-da. Instead of running away with that, what I try to do, and I found this really helpful and maybe you will too, be willing to be with that feeling in my stomach. That's where it is for me. It's in my stomach. Sometimes it's behind my eyes. It's in my jaw sometimes. So firstly, find it in my body. Where is it? Sometimes it might not be where you think it is. And then be willing to be with that feeling for 3 breaths, all right? And then go to something else. And then when it visits you again, be willing to be with that feeling for 4 breaths. Tiny amounts at first, like really, really, really achievable. And really focus on it really hard. How deep into my tummy is it? Where is it? Why does it feel that way? What's going on? And really being with it. And then 5 breaths. All right. Before you know it, I'm doing it now. Like I'm sitting with this feeling. It's in my throat. I can feel it in my throat. It's constricting around where I speak, around my voice muscles. All right. And so I can take a breath, and if I really focus on it, almost immediately the muscles relax. Because if I become aware of my body's responses to it, my body goes, oh yeah, sorry, I was doing that. Oopsie. And my body lets go. And it makes the feeling change immediately, and it makes thinking about this stuff a lot more simple because I'm not trying to deal with this bodily somatic sensation as well. So those are the 3 ways that I've really been dealing with what's going on right now. The moment I notice, or sometimes it's useful to have Audrey let me know, the moment I notice that I'm out of the room, what do my feet feel like? Is there air on my skin? Can I feel air on the back of my neck? What does my shirt feel like? What undies did I put on this morning? I can't quite remember. Getting present, feeling a sensation back in my body. What can I smell? What can I hear? The next thing is to remember, this is just this moment. I can work with what's in front of me. I don't know anything that's going to happen in the future, but I do know that every time something shitty's happened or something great's happened, there's the day, the week, the month, the year, the decade after that. Zooming right out. And the other thing that I've been really doing, and it's been really useful, is finding that feeling in my body and be willing to be with it. Really, really look at it closely, like with a microscope. Why is it the left side of my jaw is so tight? Why is it? And really, I'm willing to be with that feeling until the muscle relaxes, until my body goes, oh, you're onto me. And then, now, have I done this about 47 times this morning? I'm recording this at 11 a.m. Probably twice that amount. But that's what it takes, okay? Otherwise, I'm not here in the moment. I'm not with my son playing the bus stop on the DJ decks in the living room while he puts his roller skates on the carpet. I'm not cleaning up dog poo and vacuuming and being able to talk to my wife about this birthday party we're going to later. I'm not in the moment. I'm not here with my family. And that is allowing someone else or something else to control how I feel about my day or how I engage with my day. And I'm not going to let that happen. I've lived my life too much of that's gone on in my life. I hope those 3 things help you. If not, I hope in some way listening to the way I process things has given you a bit of perspective on the way that you process things. But I spent a lot of fucking money on psychologists and psychiatrists, and I may as well share, so it's not proprietary information. Yeah, I'm just telling you the stuff that's worked for me. But those 3 things have been really helpful. You're going to see a lot of shit in the next couple of weeks, months. Try to remember, feel your feet, feel your hands, and be in the moment, because it's really all we've got. It's really all we've got. Thanks to Matt Sofo, who did a very quick turnaround on this episode, because I had another one ready to go, but you know what? Would not have been the right one to drop on Monday. Would not have been the right one to drop on this day. So thanks for spinning it around, Matt. Thanks to Toe Hider for the music. Thanks to Monica and Ben at OGTV. I'll see you Wednesday. We're back here with Tracy Hall, another person who lives in Bondi, and oh my goodness, she's had quite the ride. Speaking of living with trauma, and speaking of getting back into the world after something horrific that's happened to you, the way that she is able to get out in the world and engage with the world after what happened to her, oh my goodness, I learned a lot. And I'd like to think I know a bit about getting back to it after some shit's gone on. I can't wait for you to hear it. All right, everyone's just coming upstairs. I got a jet. Thanks for listening.